Okay, today we're continuing our study in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. The angel took the censer. This is the angel and messenger of the covenant, the great high priest, the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, took this censer. And again, this is a vision John sees here, filled, and it's a vision of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ took this censer. He filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, there were thunderings, and there were lightnings. What do you reckon the voices said? They said, "We don't like this. We don't like these thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes and storms and violent things. We don't like this. We'll not have this man to reign over us." You remember what they said? "We don't want him to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar." Nevertheless, the Lord sends these judgments, God's righteous judgments, from the fire from the altar. And that's going to be the title from verse 5 there. Fire from the altar. This fire here is a fire of judgment, which includes the wrath of God upon all sin. Upon all sin and judgment. And it comes from the sovereign, holy throne of God. It comes from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. It accomplishes God's eternal purpose upon the earth, especially upon all those that are in rebellion against the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Against all those that hate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel to them will be a savor of death unto death. It won't be a savor of life. The Apostle Paul writes this: "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." What does that mean? Anathema means curse. Maranatha means when the Lord comes back. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on him. Now last week we learned again how necessary it is for us to have an intercessor, an advocate, mediator, a great high priest to represent us unto God. And we saw that last week in verse 3 and 4 when the angel came before the altar with the incense, and he offered it with the prayers of the saints, and the smoke of that incense ascended up before the throne of God out of the angel's hand. And we saw there the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed that mediator that's appointed and provided by God, and he is the only one. Now some people think that the Virgin Mary is the mediator. Some people looked at different various things for a mediator to intercede for them before God. Some people are deluded enough to think that this man or that man or mom or dad or somebody is going to intercede for him before God. Just one mediator between God and men, and that's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator that God will accept because he's the only mediator that God has provided. He'll only accept that which he's provided. We are accepted only in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he provided a mediator for us who has somewhat to offer, his own blood for us. The Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator and advocate is called in Scripture God our Savior. He's God our Savior. We studied last Wednesday night from Isaiah 7 verse 14, where the prophecy is given 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ comes about the virgin conceiving and bringing forth a son, and you're to call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And then the messenger from heaven was sent unto Joseph to name the child Jesus, which means Savior. And then you put those two together, you see he's called God our Savior. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And this is paramount to understanding the gospel, because it's who he is that gives infinite value to what he did. This is just not some good man from Nazareth that came and died. This is God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And everything he does is absolutely successful and effectual before God Almighty, before his throne. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished all salvation for us, has established eternal righteousness for us, salvation for us, and now he ever lives to intercede for us right now this morning. Our prayers and our worship come up before the throne of God, washed in the blood atonement of Christ, and he presents our prayers and our worship before the throne of God only through what Christ has done for us. As surely as the Lord makes intercession for all of his elect, he will also retaliate and punish all of his enemies. You don't want to be an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to make all of his enemies bow before him. Bow before him. We read in Luke 18, "Shall not God avenge his own elect which cry unto him day and night?" Vengeance is mine. You remember Hebrews 10? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Paul writes this in Romans 12, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." There is a day of vengeance coming. There is a day of wrath coming. Thank God he's delivered us from the wrath to come. Now notice carefully verse 5, Revelation 8, "The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar." This is the fire of judgment. This is the fire of God's wrath. And he cast it into the earth. And there were voices, the many voices that didn't like God to be God, that rebelled against his decrees. And there was thunderings, and there was lightning, and there was earthquake. God sent judgment on this world. But notice carefully, the Lord is not passive in these judgments of wrath upon this ungodly world. He's very active. Active, not passive. He took the censer, filled it with a fire of wrath and judgment, and then he cast it upon this earth. The Lord of the universe is in absolute control of all things. Old Nebuchadnezzar learned that lesson, didn't he? Nebuchadnezzar said in the pride of his heart, the king of Babylon, "This is great Babylon that I have built." God put him out in the field like a wild animal. And God taught him that all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of his earth. And none can say his hand, and none can say to him, "Lord God Almighty, what doest thou?" Who are you to reply against God? The voices may voice their opposition to God being God. That doesn't change the fact that he's still God. Unmoved. He took this censer filled with fire and cast it to the earth. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he does in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. Psalm 135. Remember Isaiah 45. Many times in Isaiah he said, "I am the Lord, there is none else. I am the Lord, there is none beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the east." The east is over here. "And to the west, that there is none beside me." Is there any beside God? Does he have a rival? Is the devil a rival to God? Absolutely not. The devil serves his purpose. The devil is God's devil. The devil is God's servant. He said, "I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light, I create darkness. I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." How does he create evil? By withholding goodness. How does he create darkness? By withholding light. The Lord will take vengeance. The day of vengeance is coming, saith the Lord. The Lord will take vengeance on this wicked world, this ungodly world. We don't need to. It's not our place. It's not our work. The Lord is our defender. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our avenger. It's not our place to exact vengeance on the wicked. Our wrath will not work the righteousness of God. It's not my business to try to put people out of business. that are malicious in their business. I'll let others tend to that. But the Lord will take care. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Oh, his wrath does. The wrath of God works the righteousness of God. At the command of God. Look at verse 6. Seven angels. Revelation 8, verse 6. These seven angels that have a seven trumpets stood before the throne of God awaiting the execution orders of God Almighty, prepared themselves to sound this trumpet of judgment, wrath, condemnation. The seven angels were chosen, appointed, and given these trumpets of judgment, but they could not proceed until the Lord gave them the command. And they could not unleash their designed destruction until the Lord cast the censer full of the fiery judgment upon the earth. These judgments are God's righteous judgments of wrath against all of his enemies and have taken place down through human history. These judgments have been taking place ever since Adam's sin, and especially since the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, until the Lord comes back to receive us unto himself. We see these judgments, the judgments of wrath upon mankind because of sin against God. The reason for wrath is sin. The reason for judgment is sin. And we've all, what do we deserve? We don't deserve mercy. If you think you deserve mercy, you're deluded. You're a fool. We deserve nothing but wrath and judgment. I ought to be in hell right now. I ought to be under God's wrath and judgment right now forever. Thank God he is merciful. Thank God he is long-suffering. Thank God I obtained mercy by the exceeding grace of God, as we studied this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 7 down through verse 12, we see four of the seven angels sounding and sending these judgments upon the earth. These plagues of judgment are very similar to the plagues that fell in Egypt. But remember, Israel remained unharmed, as you read Exodus 9, 10, and 11. Israel was spared. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, these judgments don't harm the elect of God. They're working, and things that happen and come to pass in our life, they're not working against us, they're working for us. These judgments don't harm the elect of God. Christ took all our wrath to himself upon the cross. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Who can charge us? It is God that justifies. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It is Christ who died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. There is therefore now in the Lord Jesus Christ to God's people no wrath, no judgment, no condemnation. All the wrath of God due God's elect for the sin against God was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ when he took our sin to himself. And he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. That's why the wrath of God fell on him and was completely satisfied for all our sin against Almighty God. Now look at verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail, fire, mingled with blood, mingled with death. This hail and this fire brought death. And they were cast upon the earth. Now who did this? It wasn't Mother Nature. I know a lot of people talk about Mother Nature. Cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up. It wasn't global warming. It wasn't climate change. God sent this wrath upon the earth. The third part of the tree was burned up, and all the grass was burned up too. Now these environmental people can talk all they want to about trying to preserve the earth. You know, they can't preserve it, nor can they destroy it. That's God's business. That's God's business. The first angel sounds, and there followed his sounding of and unleashing God's judgment upon this earth, hail and fire and blood, which resulted in death. The wage of sin is death. These judgments and disasters and calamities that do come are controlled by the Lord upon His sovereign throne. You ever notice why hailstorm over here and no hailstorm over there? In Egypt, we read about it a moment ago, there was a mighty hailstorm that killed all the livestock of the Egyptian. And over here in the land of Goshen, there was no hail. How did that happen? The sovereign will of God Almighty. Now, what do these storms teach us? That God is God, that He's in control of all things. But also in relation to the gospel. There's more here than just this weather-related thing. Perhaps these storms refer to the spiritual storms of wrath that are unleashed upon those who promote a false gospel. Those who promote a false gospel. Those who preach another gospel that Paul says is not another. Though an angel from heaven, we or an angel from heaven, preach another gospel than what we have preached. You remember the judgment that came? Let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. Those who have no refuge, no hiding place, no great high priest, no atonement, those who have no righteousness in Christ, no hiding place, will suffer the judgment of God against their sin. Thank God we have an atonement. When the hail of God's wrath comes against us, He'll have nothing to find in us because the wrath of God has been taken away in my substitute, Jesus Christ. Look over here, if you want to turn with me, you can. But let me just turn over here to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Now, these storms and these judgments are coming, but they do no eternal harm to us because we're resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a refuge. We have a hiding place. Isaiah 32, 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We have a refuge. We have a hiding place. When the wrath of God comes, it won't come upon us. Turn over here or back to Isaiah 28. Turn over there. Remember those who said in Isaiah 28, verse 15, those people who talked about, we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Look at verse 17, Isaiah 28. Judgment will also lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away your refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow your hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell will not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, you shall be trodden down by it. Wrath is coming. Judgment's coming. Get in Christ. Look what he says in Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Never forced out, never ashamed, never forced to flee, hiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's where I want to be. Judgment's coming. The hail, the fire, the blood, death is coming. Those are hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Him. Now look at verse 8 and 9. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain, burning with fire, like unto, and cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, death, this burning mountain. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. More judgments coming. The second angel unleashes more of God's eternal judgment upon the sea, with this great mountain burning with fire. Notice it said, as it were. Again, this is symbolic language. It's not an actual burning volcano mountain, but the picture and a symbol of God's authority and power and God's holy wrath. The Lord controls all events on the land and the sea by His sovereign providence. This may have reference, and I'm sure that it does, to the many disasters upon the sea. This burning mountain that is cast in the sea brings much death and destruction. You think of all the maritime, I think of the Titanic going down, and all them other ships that went down. How did that happen? Why did it happen? God brought it to pass. Wrath and judgment on those people. This also may be seen, this mountain burning with fire that appears for a little while, this also may be seen as those who appear to be great religious leaders, mountains, high and lifted up leaders, who may lead many and bring many into the paths of ways of destruction and death. They don't lead to life because they don't preach the truth. There is a way that seems right unto men. The end of that way is death. Remember our Lord said in Matthew 24, there shall be false Christ that shall arise and deceive many, many. Those who preach a false Christ or a counterfeit Christ and a false message, they don't bring life, they bring death. Remember this. You remember over here, you know, a lot of people want to try to hide in a mountain. You remember over here, turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Remember those that cried to the mountain to save them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb? A lot of people want to hide in their religious profession or their religious doing. And Revelation 6, look at verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and mighty men, and every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the den and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, hide us. Would you hide in a mountain? Would you try to hide from God? And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come. Who is able to stand? Now who can stand? Who can stand before Almighty God? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Only he that has a clean heart and pure hand, and that's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there is no hiding place and no refuge from the wrath of God but the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in Psalm 62, He is my only rock, my salvation. Trust in Him at all times. God is a refuge for us. Now, when the wrath of God came in the day of Noah, God told Noah, it had never rained on the earth. God told Noah to build a boat. Noah is called in the book of 2 Peter a preacher of righteousness. It took Noah 120 days to build that ark. And God said, come into the ark. Noah and his family went in that ark before it rained one drop. They did so by faith. And all those inside that ark were safe. And when the wrath of God fell upon this world and killed everything outside that ark, those inside the ark were safe. Now, what is that ark a picture of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our only hiding place. When the wrath of God falls on this world, and it's coming, the day of wrath is coming because the Lord is coming back again to receive His people to Himself and to destroy everything outside of Christ. Where do you want to be found when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? A lot of people say, well, I don't want to be found in the picture show. I don't want to be found over here. Where do you want to be found when Christ comes back? In Him. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 10 and 11. The third angel sounds his trumpet, and again judgment falls on the ungodly, unrepentant world, those not in Christ. Verse 10 and verse 11. The third angel sounded, And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of waters, and the name of that star is called Wormwood. You can look at that reference there in Deuteronomy 29:18. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were bitter. They were poison. Man, don't drink bad water. Many years ago, I went to Mexico visiting the missionaries, and I made a mistake of drinking that water. I paid for it for 3 days. Montezuma's revenge. Ah! You want to drink, if you're going to drink water, drink good water. Drink the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's where I'm going with this. This third judgment that came, it affected the rivers, the streams, the fountains. The waters became polluted and poisoned. Many died from the waters they drank because they were poison waters. This great star, this burning lamp, named Wormwood, means bitterness, gall and bitterness. Notice this star fell from heaven. It just didn't happen. God brought this upon the earth. Like a shooting star that streaks across the sky, it lasts for a moment, it lights up but a moment, and then it's gone. There's no lasting light. Two things here. Such is false religion in the way of the flesh, like the falling star of Wormwood. The waters of false religion do not bring life, only death. No lasting, no true light, no peace, no joy. It brings only bitterness and bondage. I can make good on that. Turn over here to 2 Corinthians 11. There's bitterness and bondage, no life. But you know what it says over here in 2 Corinthians 11? That Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Look at it, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. They are angels of light who try to promote morality as righteousness. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that has the pure, refreshing water of life. The Christ of God from which issues out salvation, liberty, and righteousness. Turn over here. Here's another river that's a pure river. Turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. You remember this river? Revelation 22, verse 1. Don't drink of the river of death. Don't drink of the bitterness of that poison water of false religion. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I want to drink of that water, don't you? He is a water of life. Our Lord said in Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters." Don't come to the wormwood fountain. There's nothing in that but death and destruction. Our Lord said in John 7, in that last day, that great day of the feast, our Lord stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." I want you to turn to John chapter 4. It reminded me of this conversation the Lord had with this woman of Samaria. Remember in John chapter 4? The Lord sitting on that well, Jacob's well, and this woman comes to him and says in verse 9, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." The Samaritans were half-breeds, part Jew and part Assyrian. And the Lord answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof of himself and his children and his cattle? And the Lord said unto the woman, whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me that water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Lord, give me that water. I want to drink of that water. The Lord Jesus Christ is a water of life. The water of life. Verse 12, back in our text. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and the third part of them was darkened, that the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. You remember there was darkness in the land of Egypt, over all the land of Egypt. But in the house of the Israelites, what was there? Light. Light. This darkness over one third of all the land. The Lord of glory has complete and sovereign control over the entire universe. All things in his creation serve his purpose. The sun, the moon, and the star. Remember back, turn back to chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. When the sixth seal was opened, there, lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now that's talking about the end time when the Lord is coming back. The Lord of glory has complete control over all the universe. Over all the universe. Let me give you a couple examples of that. When Hezekiah was sick unto death, in Isaiah 38, we read about it. He was sick unto death, and he prayed to the Lord for the Lord to spare him. And then God said, I'm going to give you a sign. You remember what he did? He turned back the sun 10 degrees. The dial on the sun, sundial went backward 10 degrees. You know what that means? That means God stopped the earth and turned it back. He controls all things. He controls all things. We have another example of the Lord controlling all things. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for the sin of God's people, his elect? He died for our sin according to the scripture. There was 3 hours of darkness over all the land. 3 hours of darkness. God stopped the sun from shining when the Lord Jesus Christ, all the blackness and darkness of our sin meet upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sun refused to shine. Now here's the point. The Lord will spare nothing to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to spread his gospel, or to defend his church. He may stop the sun from shining. He may turn the earth backward. God said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. With the Lord, all things are possible. With the Lord, there's nothing too hard. Now here's the gospel point for us. And here's a gospel lesson for us. We're born in darkness. We're born in ignorance. The scripture says light is coming in this world and we love darkness rather than light. Why? Because we are born in darkness, sin, and depravity. We only have the light of the gospel by the sovereign will of God shining in our hearts. If he doesn't command the light to shine, we'll never see him. Never see him. Our Lord said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Remember the scriptures talk about being called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When God in creation said, let there be light, and there was light. And he makes an illustration and an application of that in regenerating grace. God who commands the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us a light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, aren't you glad that God controls the light? Darkness over all Egypt. Israel has light in their house. and there's darkness everywhere in this world. Yet God has sovereignly chosen from all eternity to shine the light of the gospel in our heart. That makes us thankful, doesn't it? Now, in closing, verse 13, "Now I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound.'" You mean it's going to get worse? My friend, folks, things are not going to get any better. Things are not going to get any better. John here is given a brief intermission before the next three angels sound. But this angel, this messenger of God, declares there's more trouble to come. More trouble to come. Turn over here to Revelation 14. Let's read this. Verse 6 and 7. Here's another angel. Revelation 14. "I saw another angel flying through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Worship Him that made heaven, earth, and sea, and the fountains of the earth.'" Good news. The good news of the gospel. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Now, the good news of the gospel is we've been delivered from the wrath to come. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. We studied in 1 Thessalonians, remember? "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idol to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." The day of judgment's coming. The day of wrath is coming. All those outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one refuge from the wrath of God, and that's to be found in Christ. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Judgment's coming. Thank God we have a great high priest who took all our judgment for our sin, and therefore in Christ there's no judgment left for us. "He that believeth on the Son has life," right? "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. The wrath of God abides on him."